Brachos Daf Nun Ches. Rav Yirmiyah ben Elazar says that when Bavel was cursed, the neighboring lands were also cursed. When Samaria was cursed, the neighboring lands were actually blessed. In Bavel, the reason the neighboring lands were cursed is because the wild animals inhabited the wasteland that was Bavel, and then they ravaged the neighboring lands. However, by Samaria, when it was destroyed and it was cursed, the land became very fertile for all the neighboring lands. Rav Nuna said that if you see a multitude of Jews, the bracha is Baruch Acham Harazim. If you see a multitude of non-Jews, the bracha is, or you say, Busha Imchem, that your mother is embarrassed. Abraisa says that on the multitude of Jews, you say, Baruch Acham Harazim. Why? Because the minds and faces of all the Jews are all different, but Hashem nonetheless knows the secret thoughts of all of them. Ben Zilma saw multitudes of Bnei Israel, and so he said, Baruch Acham Harazim. And he also added, Baruch Shabara kol ela lisham sheni, that all of these are here to serve me. Why? Because he said Adam Harishon, the first man, he had to go through this whole process of making bread and clothes and everything. He had to go through this whole long process doing every single stage. But for me, I just find everything ready right there waiting for me. I get up in the morning and everyone's right before me to do business with me, and I just have everything so easy. Ben Zoma says that a good guest says, wow, how much trouble my host went through for me. He made so much bread and meat and wine, and he did this all for me. Wow, how great my host is. A bad guest says, what trouble did the host go through for me? He brought a little bit of food, a little bit of wine, a little bit to drink, but really, he just did this all for his wife and his family. Ravina says that Yishai, who is David's father, always was accompanied by a large group of people wherever he went. Ula says that you don't say a bracha on the multitudes of people in Bavel. Abraisa says that what's considered a multitude, at least 600,000. Price says if you see a sage of Bnei Yisrael, a Talmid Chacham, you say, Baruch Shechalak Mechachmaso Liyireyav. But if you see a sage of Avodah Zarah, non-Jew, you say, Baruch Shenasan Mechachmaso Libriyosav. If you see the kings of Israel, you say, Baruch Shechalak Mekvodo Liyireyav. If you see a non-Jewish king, you say, Baruch Shenasan Mekvodo Libriyosav. Yochanan says that you should always run to greet the Jewish kings, and you should also even go to greet the non-Jewish kings so that you can see the difference between the honor shown to Mashiach, the King of Mashiach, versus the non-Jewish kings. Rav Sheshes was blind, and everyone was going to greet the king one day, so Rav Sheshes ran to go greet the king, and there was this Siddiqui who said, why are you going? You can't see him. And Rav Sheshes said, I'll show you, I know even better about the king than you do. And so he's like, all right, fine. So they were waiting, I guess, by this parade, and they heard a very loud noise, and these troops are coming through, and the Siddiqui said, oh, this must be the king. He's coming. And Rav Sheshes said, no, he's not. And it turned out it wasn't the king. Then there was another loud noise, and all these troops are coming by. And the Tzaduki said, oh, this is the king. And Rav Sheshes said, still, it's not the king. Then there was quiet, and Rav Sheshes said, oh, here comes the king. And it turned out that was the king. So the Tzaduki said, how did you possibly know that? He said, because the royalty of earth is the same as the royalty of heaven, of Shemaim. That Hashem only came to see Eliyahu in silence. He didn't come in the loud fire and the loud winds or in the loud earthquake, anything like that. When Hashem was passing by Eliyahu, he only came with a kol demam adaka, a silent voice. So that's how he knew. So Rav Sheshes says, as the king was passing by, he blessed the king. And the Siddiqui said, what are you doing? You can't see him. Why are you blessing him? And so some say that this Siddiqui actually had his eyes gouged out. And some say that Rav Sheshes looked at him and then he died. Rav Shila administered lashes to someone for having relations with a Mitzri, with an Egyptian. And then that guy was really upset. He went and told the king, oh, there's someone who's punishing people without the king's authority. So they called in Rav Shila. And they said, why'd you punish him? And so Rav Shila said, oh, because he had relations with a donkey. And so they answered, well, if that's true, then they said, well, do you have witnesses for that? And he said, yeah. And Eliyahu came down and disguised himself as a witness, and they testified that this guy had relations with a donkey. And then they said, all right, well, if that's true, the government said, this guy is Chayav Misa, he has to be killed. And why did you kill him? Rav Shila answered, ever since we were exiled from our land, we don't administer the death penalty, but you guys can do with him what you want. As they were discussing what to do, Rav Shila said this whole nice long bracha. He said, L'cha Hashem Agdula V'Agvura, as part of his pasuk, as part of his bracha towards the king, to bless the king. And he was saying how great the king is and all these things. And the government and all the people there, they said, wow, this Rav Shila, he really, really cares about the king. He has such tremendous honor and respect for the king. So they gave him, you know, the power to be able to administer justice and punish anyone that he wants. So as they were leaving, the guy said, how could you possibly say that I had relations with a donkey? That's not true. I had relations with an Egyptian. And so he quoted a pasuk that said, that basically compares the Egyptians to the donkeys. And so Rav Shila then saw that this guy was going to run back to tell the government that he compared them to donkeys. And so to try to get Rav Shila in trouble, and Rav Shila realized, okay, this guy is a rodef. He's trying to kill me, right? And we know that Hashkeim lahargo, lahargecha, chayav lahargo, that if somebody's coming to kill you, you have to kill them first. You can't let them kill you. So Rav Shila killed this guy because he was threatening his life. Rav Shila then decided to expand on the pasuk that he quoted for the king. So the Chasham Agdula is talking about Maaseh Bereishis, the creation. Vagvura is talking about Yetzias Mitzrayim. Vatiferes is talking about the sun and the moon that stood still for Yehoshua. Vatnetzach is talking about the fall of Rome. Vahod is talking about the canyons of Arnon. Arnon that we talked about the other day. Kikol Bashamayim Vaaretz is talking about the battle against Sisera, the miraculous battle where they all fell dead. Lachasham Hamamlacha is talking about the war against Amalek. Famisnase is talking about Gog Magog. Lechol Lerosh, Rabbi Yochanan says that even the supervisor of irrigation, who's a very lowly position, even that is appointed by Hashem, meaning Hashem controls everything. Rabbi Akiva expounded the puzzle a little differently. He said the Chasham Agdula, that's talking about Kriyas Yamsev, the splitting of the sea. Vagrua is talking about Makas Bechoros. Vatiferet is talking about Matan Torah, the giving of the Torah. Vanetzach is talking about Yushalayim. And Vahod is talking about the base Hamikdash. Bryson says that if you see the grand houses in Eretz Yisrael, these giant houses, and they're inhabited, you say Baruch Matziv Gvul Almana. But if you see them ruined, you say Baruch Dayan Emes. If you see a non-Jew's house, you say Beis Gehim Yisach Hashem, the house of the proud ones, Hashem will corrupt. If you see them ruined, you say, Kel nekamot Hashem, Kel nekamot Ophiah, meaning Hashem did exact his vengeance. Ula and Rav Chista were walking, and they passed by the house of Rav Chama bar Chanilai. And Rav Chista sighed. So Ula said, how can you sigh? Rav says that sighing breaks half the body, and Rav Yochanan says that it breaks the whole body. How can you do this? So Rav Chista answers, in this house of Rav Chama bar Chanilai, there were 60 bakers that would bake day and night, and they would bake for whoever needed. Rav Chama bar Chanilai himself always had his hand in his wallet, so he wouldn't have to waste any time giving tzedakah to the poor, because maybe in that time that he was wasting to get his wallet out, the poor would be too embarrassed and he'd leave. So he always had his hand in his wallet to give tzedakah. There were four doors on every side, so people could come in from any direction. Whenever somebody came in hungry, they left on a full stomach. During the years of a famine, they would throw barley and wheat outside so anyone could come take it. Anyone who was embarrassed, they could just come and take it at night. And now this house of the tzaddik is in ruins. Ula says, well, we know Rav Yochanan says that when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, the houses of the tzaddikim were also destroyed. However, when the Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt, the houses of tzaddikim will also be rebuilt. But Rav Chista was still upset by this, and he still wasn't really so comforted. So Ula said, listen, what can we do? Hashem's house is destroyed. How can the servant's house still be standing? So we have a braisa that says, if you see Jewish graves, you say this long bracha that starts with Baruch Asher Yatzar Eschem Badin, ends with Va'ati La'akim Badin. Rav Nachman would add V'yodea B'mispar Kolchem and end it with Baruch Mechayim Yisim. If you see the graves of non-Jews, then you should say Busha Imachem, that your mother is embarrassed. Rav Yishuv ben Levi said that if you see your friend after 30 days, you should say Ashechianu. After 12 months, you say Baruch Mechayim Mesim. Rav says that the reason that you say Baruch Mechayim Mesim, which is talking about Tchias Mesim, the bringing people back to life, is because a dead person is considered forgotten from your heart after 12 months. So by seeing this guy after 12 months, it's considered as if he's like dead and forgotten. You say Mechayim Mesim, that it's like he was brought back to life for you. So Rav Papa and Rav Huna bereid Rav Yehoshua saw Rav Chanina bereid Rav Ika, and they said the bracha of Baruch Asher Chalak Mechach Masoli Reyav, which is the bracha that you say in the Talmud Chacham, and they said Shechianu because presumably they had not seen him in a while. So Rav Chanina bereid Rav Ika responded and said, you both are so precious to me, like 600,000 people to me. So he said the two brachos they said on the Talmud Chacham and the Shechianu, but he also added Baruch Acham Harazim, which is the bracha you say when you see 600,000 people. However, this was not the proper thing to do, and he ended up dying. Rav Yehoshua ben Levi says, if you see freckled people, you say Baruch Mashan Habrios. However, we have a braisa that says, if you see someone who's unusually dark, white, or red-skinned, or they're obese, or someone who's a dwarf, or a person with warts, you say Baruch Mashan Habrios. If you see someone whose arms or legs are amputated, who's blind, who has boils, or who has freckles, you say Baruch Dayan Emes. So before, Rav Yehoshua ben Levi says the bracha on freckled person is Baruch Mashan Habrios, but this says it's Baruch Dayan Emes. So we answer, the bracha of Mishana Habrios, which is what Rabbi Shimon Levi was talking about, is when you're born with freckles. However, you say Baruch Dayan Emes if you get them after birth. And that's why I compare someone with freckles to an amputee, because both are considered after birth defects that you would say, things that happen after birth, and that's why you would say Baruch Dayan Emes. If you see elephants, monkeys, or vultures, you say Mishana Tabriot. If you see a beautiful creature or trees, you say Baruch Sheh Kachalo Be'olamo. So the Mishnah had said on Zikin, it was talking about the Baruch on Zikin. So what are Zikin? So Shmuel says that's a comet. And Shmuel adds, I know all the paths of the stars except for a comet, but I do know that if it ever passes through the constellation of Xeel, then the world will be destroyed. We answer that it does pass through the constellation of Xeel. So why is the world not destroyed? So we answer, no, it's glow that, you know, when you see a shooting star, there's a glow behind it. That's what passes through the constellation of Xeel. And there's another answer by Rav Ashi that says that a star moves from one side to the other side of Xeel, the constellation of Steel, of Xeel. So it looks like it's passing through, but it's not passing through. It's just moving from one side to the other side. Rav Huna Barei de Rav Yehoshua says, what are Zikin? So basically, we have these different firmaments, levels in the skies and in Shemaim, and one of the firmaments, which is the first level that brings darkness at night, that tears open a bit, and some light from the firmament above that, which has the sun in it, shines through. So it's a little patch of light, a little patch in the firmament where light can shine through, and it makes this really nice thing that looks like Zikin. That's what he calls it. So Shmuel says that there's one pasuk that says Hashem makes Ash, Xeel, and Kima. Another pasuk says he only makes Xeel and Kima. So what's the deal? What does that mean? And it's basically coming to teach us that Xeel and Kima are two very important, and you need both of each other to balance each other out. Because without the heat of Xeel, then the world wouldn't be able to stand from the cold of Kima. And without the cold of Kima, the world would not be able to stand by the heat of Xeel. Shkeach.